Thank you, Mr. Berry, for the words of welcome. And it is good to be here again, once again tonight. And I want to bid you warmly welcome in the Saviour's name. Thank you for coming. And it's good to see the hall well filled. And I appreciate your attendance. And I trust that the Lord will richly bless us tonight as we meet around the Word of God. It's very good to have my colleague, the Reverend Gordon Bain, with us tonight. The last time I saw him, he hadn't a coat on him. He was all stripped out for a nice day in Orlando. And we took him to see the sights in SeaWorld. And then we ended up doing something Americans like to do. And of course, Ulster people like to do. We like to eat. And that's the last recollection I have of our brother. So I'm glad to see you and two brethren from Crossgar tonight, or one from Ballygowan. And one from Crossgar as well. We're glad to see you in the Saviour's name. Will you please find in the Word of God tonight the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Genesis, chapter 39. And I want to read the opening six verses of the chapter. And then I want to continue to read verse 21. So it is Genesis chapter 39, commencing at the opening verse. Let us now hear the word of God. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, and well favoured. Then continuing at verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. We will end there, and we trust that the Lord will add a blessing to the public reading of his own precious and infallible word, for Christ's sake. I will take a moment to bow for prayer. We want to hear the voice of God tonight. We all want to learn something new. We all want to know His blessing upon us. Just the way the blessing came upon the house of Potiphar. For Joseph's sake, we want to be blessed tonight for Jesus' sake. So let's engage in prayer. Let's be still before God. Let's pray to this end that God will bless us in our study tonight. Our Father, we gather once again before Thee in Jesus' name. The Lord doth know our hearts. The Lord doth know my need tonight. The Lord doth know the needs of every one gathered and bowed in my divine presence. And we ask of Thee that as Thou didst draw near to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road and travel with them and began to expound the scriptures to them. So we ask of thee just now to draw near to us. Begin right now to expound in all the scriptures the things concerning thyself, and grant that we will receive a blessing tonight, that we will be blessed of God for Jesus' sake, and that as we leave the house of God, that other people will be able to see the blessing of God upon our lives. May they see something different in our lives because of this week of meetings in the house of God. I am trusting thee for power. Thine can never fail. Words that thou thyself shall give me must and shall prevail. Give prevailing grace, I humbly pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to direct your attention to the opening part of verse 2. And I want to use this as the basis of my message tonight. Notice what it says there in verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. Now the story of Joseph is one of the most amazing and thrilling stories to be found anywhere in the Word of God. The story itself shows how he went down as low as any man could go, and how in the providence of God he arose up to as high a position as any man could rise. From being incarcerated in a lowly dungeon, he rose up to become the Prime Minister of the land of Egypt. He went from suffering to success, from rags to riches, from prison to paradise. He went from being a forgotten man to being a famous man. And all this came about because God had a plan for his life. And I do believe that God has a plan for your life, child of God. He has a plan for my life. God has something good in store for us as his believing people. Now it has to be said that Joseph was born like everybody else. He was born a sinner. But the grace of God triumphed in his life and shone brightly throughout his whole testimony and his whole life for God. There's no doubt about it that he was a virtuous man, a man who had a tremendous testimony. Now, sometimes the Spirit of God sketches a man's life in Scripture with a single sentence. For example, the Bible says Abraham believed God. This not only sums up his personal experience of faith, but it also describes his life as a whole. Abraham was a man who believed God. Concerning John the Baptist, you have it all in one line. John did no miracle, but all things that he spoke concerning Jesus were true. What a testimony John had. Now, Scripture excels in this kind of full-length miniature painting. And in our text, we have another wonderful example of this. Here the Holy Spirit gives us an accurate portrayal of Joseph. And he simply says, the Lord was with Joseph. And as you can see for yourself, or as I will point out to you just now, this expression occurs 4 times in the chapter. And it really sums up his life. Let me say something now. When you see a word repeated in a portion of Scripture, or in a certain number of verses in the Bible, it's there for a purpose. And you should underline that particular word. Or if you come across a phrase that is repeated in a chapter or in a few verses, please take note of that, underline it, because it is there for a purpose. And 4 times in this chapter it tells us that the Lord was with Joseph. Let's pick these verses out. Let's find these verses for ourselves. And please take time to underline these words. Verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. In the following verse, the same thing is brought to our attention. Verse 3, notice what it says. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Then come to the latter part of the chapter, to verse 21. Look at what it says again at the beginning of the 21st verse. But the Lord was with Joseph. And then finally, in verse 23, because the Lord was with him. So four times over in this chapter, we read these words that the Lord was with Joseph, or the Lord was with him. But then for good measure, you can turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 7 and verse 9. And notice what Stephen has got to say about Joseph, if you will find the place. Book of Acts, chapter 7. And this is a tremendous sermon preached by Stephen before the Sanhedrin. And it shows us clearly that Stephen was a man who knew his history. And may we as Free Presbyterians remember our history. It's a good history. It's a glorious history. And we celebrate a very important year this year. And we say to God be the glory, great things he hath done. So young people, please keep your history in mind. Don't forget your history. So when you read through Acts chapter 7, you will discover that Stephen knew his history. And he preached a tremendous message before the Sanhedrin. And by the way, the sermon he preached cost him his life. May the Lord give unto preachers today grace to preach faithfully the word of God. But notice what it says there in verse 9. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. So that is four times in Genesis chapter 39, and then once in the book of Acts chapter 7, we read the very same thing. That's five times. Five in the Bible, as you know, is the number of grace. And here we have evidence of grace in the life of Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. So what we have before us is a divine testimony. This is the Lord's description of Joseph. And we have got to be careful how we live before our fellow men and before our neighbours. But the most important thing is how we live before God. This is what God thought of Joseph. And God took time to write it down. And the Lord says, the Lord was with Joseph. Five times. This is Joseph as God saw him. So here is the plain, forthright, repeated statement of God's word concerning the life of this man. This was the secret of the success in his life. The secret of success in being a man of God. The Lord was with him. This clearly shows us the reason why Joseph went on with God. Because the Lord was with him. And there's only one way that we can go on with God. And that is to know the presence of God with us day by day. From this godly life, we learn many wonderful things about the secret of success in the Christian life. And I have just a few things that I want to draw to your attention tonight from Joseph's testimony found in these words. The first thing I want to draw to your attention is this. The Lord was present with Joseph. The Lord was present with Joseph. Notice what it says there in verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down cellar. Do you notice anything there? Do you see there's a word there that's repeated? Do you remember what I said a moment or two ago? When you find words repeated in the Word of God, these words are repeated for a reason. Underline this word, brought. It's found in these verses twice. And then also underline that word, bought. And this brings to our attention the thought of the providence of God. Joseph was brought in the providence of God down to Egypt. And an Egyptian bought him in the providence of God of the hands of the Ishmaelites. which had brought him down in the providence of God. So the Spirit of God is teaching us a lesson. A lesson about the providence of God. Now you just think for a moment or two. Think of the awful trials that Joseph had just recently passed through. He had been hated by his brethren. He had been ridiculed. He had been reviled by his own brothers. Then he had been cast into a pit. And then sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites, who in turn sold him to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard. So the next time you have a hard day, remember Joseph. The next time you have an encounter, a severe trial, remember Joseph. It was just one thing after another accumulating in his life, but the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord had a plan for his life. And like Paul arriving in Rome, Joseph arrived in Egypt in chains. Paul wanted to arrive in Rome as a preacher. He wanted to have the liberty to preach to congregations and to declare the word of God. But when he arrives in Rome, he's in chains. But in the providence of God, the Lord saw to it that he would have a captive audience every time he prayed. That he would have a captive audience every time he witnessed, and when he wrote the scriptures, and when he testified to those who came to see him. What makes me say that? Well, for 24 hours a day, the apostle was chained to a soldier. And the soldiers, they changed shifts, I think, maybe every 4 hours. So when this man prayed, when he wrote the scriptures, when he spoke to people about the Lord, the soldier was there to hear the gospel message. He heard how Paul prayed. He was able to hear what Paul was writing down in his letters to those that he was addressing. You see, sometimes the way up is the way down. And God in his providence saw to it that Paul arrived in Rome in chains to give him a captive audience every time he witnessed. And he spoke to those soldiers one-on-one, and he declared to them the glorious gospel of salvation through faith in Christ. So if they changed every 4 hours, that would have been 6 soldiers every day. You think of the period of time that he was incarcerated. Think of the people that he witnessed to in the city of Rome, and he was in chains. But his chains did not prohibit him from declaring the gospel and preaching Christ. And we read about those in the household of Caesar who were in Rome, who were believers. And it is very possible some of the soldiers that Paul witnessed to were converted and won to faith in Jesus Christ. So sometimes the way up is the way down. God took Paul to Rome in chains. But thank God he gave him ample opportunity to preach. And the chain was placed on Paul to prevent him getting away. But the chain also was placed upon the soldier to prevent him getting away from the gospel message. Do you see that? God has a sense of humor. And the Lord turned the whole thing around for his praise and for his glory. So that the gospel that the Romans were trying to prohibit and trying to hinder and frustrate would spread, souls would be saved. And the kingdom of God will be extended. What a wonderful God we serve. He's the God of providence. So here we find Joseph. He arrives in the land of Egypt. And he arrives there in chains. His high hopes are shattered. His life is in ruins as far as he was concerned. What had become of those fine dreams that he had that are recorded there in Genesis chapter 37? He had dreams of power and dreams of possession. But God had not forgotten about his dreams. Joseph had to wait for a number of years before he realized those dreams. But thank God the day came when God honored those dreams. And God highly exalted Joseph and lifted him up and blessed him and made him a blessing in Egypt and in Israel and indeed a blessing to the whole world. God never forgets his promise. The Lord was with Joseph. So when he arrived in the land of Egypt, he was nothing more than a slave in a foreign land. Now what a contrast this is. There's a contrast from being a beloved son in the father's house to being a bought slave in a foreigner's house. From wearing a beautiful son's coat to wearing a basic slave's coat. What a come down. Sometimes the way up is the way down. And God was taking Joseph down to the lowest depths to prove his servant in order to lift him higher than any man could ever have imagined. That's sometimes the way God works with his people. And the Lord was with Joseph. What a disaster this was. What a disappointment this was. What a delay this was. I'm sure he wondered to himself, what is God doing? But the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. So here he is, taken from home, taken from a beloved father, carried to a strange land where he was cruelly slandered. And he's only a teenager. Sometimes we worry about our children when they come to college age, when they go to college. How will they survive there? Well, how did Joseph survive in Egypt? How did Daniel survive as a teenager in the land of Babylon? Well, the answer is the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Daniel. And the Lord will go with the young person wherever you go. He will never forsake you. He will never let you down. He will never abandon you. The Lord was with Joseph. He will always be with you. You can also think about Joseph being falsely slandered, unjustly imprisoned, and forgotten. Do you ever feel forgotten? Do you ever feel that your friends have forsaken you and left you, abandoned you? Have you ever felt like that? Maybe your closest kith and kin, your brothers or sisters, have let you down, have forsaken you. Well, the Lord is with Joseph. The Lord never fails. The Lord was with him to support him, to strengthen him, to comfort him. And I'm reminded of what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy verse 4, chapter 4, verse 16. And you can turn to that for a moment. Notice what it says there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's good to familiarize yourself with these verses, because some of these days you're going to need this verse. And if you don't know where to find it, you're going to be in a mess. So if you know where to find it, then you will be able to find comfort in your time of need. Notice what it says there in 2 Timothy 4 verse 16. No man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Do you see that? But then he added triumphantly, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Verse 17. Now I noticed something wonderful today. It was a real blessing to my own soul. And if you will turn to the book of Acts again, chapter 9 and verse 25. And I trust that this thought that came to me will be a blessing to you. It will help you in those difficult, dark times when you feel all alone and feel let down. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9 and verse 25. Now let's read these words in their proper context. Notice what it says. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. That's these words in their proper setting and context. Paul's life was in danger, and the brethren in the city put him into a basket, a large basket, of course, and lowered him over the wall, and Paul was able to escape. But let's take those words, or some of the words, out of their proper context. This is what I mean. Then the brethren let him down. Has some brother or sister let you down? And that has grieved you. And that has hurt you. And maybe you're struggling with that. Then the disciples let him down. But then I went back to the beginning of the chapter. I went back to the sixth verse. Notice what it says. The Lord is speaking to Saul. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Listen to it carefully. And the Lord said unto him, arise. The disciples let him down, but the Lord said, arise. What does that suggest to you? The Lord lifted him up. Do you see that? And sometimes the brethren or sisters let us down. And at such a time, the Lord will intervene and the Lord will lift us up and make us a blessing. I think again of the book of Revelation. And in chapters 2 and 3, we have seven letters written to the seven churches. Seven letters sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to these various churches. We haven't time to look into these chapters in any great detail, but these are seven letters. And the Spirit of God records the faults and the failures of the churches, and the faults and the failures of the pastors, and the faults and the failures of the people who belong to the churches. The Spirit of God is very fair. He always gives a very balanced report. He shows the good points about people, and he also shows the bad points about people. And so when you read these two chapters, you read about good things and you read about bad things. There'll be things there to discourage the saints of God. But when you enter into chapter 4, the whole scene completely changes. Notice what it says there in verse 1. After this, after looking at the failures of pastors and preachers and people and churches, after looking at all of these things, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And by the way, this is the third time the door is mentioned thus far in the book of Revelation. Chapter 3, verse 8, chapter 3, verse 20, and now again in chapter 4, verse 1. There's got to be a reason for that. Have a look at it for yourself and see if you can find any more doors referred to in the book of Revelation or any other doors mentioned in the Word of God. It will surprise you and it will bless your soul if you give attention to the doors of the Bible. Some doors are opened, some doors are closed. You can study this for yourself. That will be a good study to do tonight before going to bed. If you have a concordance, well, if you want to do it the easy way, get the concordance down. If you want to do it the hard way, get on your knees and pray about it. But there's things there that you can learn about the door. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. The Spirit of God is directing John away from the failures in churches and the failures in preachers and the failures in people. And he is turning his attention to the one who is perfect, the one who is holy, the one who is upon his throne, the one who never fails, the one who will never let us down, the one who cheers our hearts, the one who lifts us up when the brethren let us down. One who is upon his throne, who's in charge of all things. And the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Paul when no man stood with him. The Lord stood with him. The Lord's presence is ever with his people. And sometimes the sad thing is that God's people are not even aware of the presence of God with them. What makes me say that? Remember Genesis chapter 28, verse 16, when the Lord came to Bethel, the Lord suddenly intervened in the life and in the experience of Jacob. God broke through. And this is what Jacob testified to. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Child of God, are you conscious of the Lord's presence with you? Are you conscious that the Lord is with you each day? Have you been conscious of his nearness today? Have you been walking in the Spirit? Have you been breathing in the breath of heaven? Have you gazed upon his face? Have you heard his voice? Has your heart broken when you thought for a moment about a sacrifice for sin, a sacrifice for you? The Lord was with Joseph. I think again of 2 Kings chapter 6. Remember that story when the king of Syria sent his soldiers against Elisha and Elisha's servant. Elisha was at a place called Dothan, and the king of Syria gave instructions to surround the city. He wanted to apprehend God's servant. He wanted to take him. He wanted to prevent his ministry. And so the king of Syria sent his soldiers and they surrounded the city. Elijah was still in the house. And the young servant came out and he looked around and he could see nothing but the soldiers. And he was fearful. And he ran to his master and he said, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" In other words, he was saying, "How are we going to get out of this mess?" He was fearful. And then what did Elisha do? The word of God tells us that Elisha prayed. He prayed that the Lord would open the eyes of the young man. And God answered his prayer. And when his eyes were opened, that is the eyes of the young man, he looked around and he could see the chariots of Israel around the hills, surrounding Elisha and surrounding himself. Help was near. And the Lord intervened in his matchless grace. So if there are times in your experience when you cannot see, you need to pray like the psalmist did. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law," or out of thy word. "Uncover, reveal to me thy truth, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." That young man looked around and his heart was filled with joy when he saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, while on the surface it seemed that Joseph was the victim of unfortunate circumstances, that was not really the case. Because a sovereign God was providentially with him, guiding him, watching over him. His brothers, they planned to kill him. But Reuben just happened to speak up at the right time. He said, "Let's not kill him." And it was his intention to rescue Joseph and to take him back to his father. That was his intention. And when they were trying to decide what to do with him, there just happened to be a pit nearby. And it so happens there was no water in the pit. So Joseph didn't drown. And it just happened that some Midianites were passing by. And it was just then that Judah happened to hit on the idea of selling their brother as a slave. All of these apparently chance happenings proved that an invisible hand was superintending all things. A supernatural hand was preserving Joseph, was protecting him. He was spared by Reuben. He was sold by Judah, but he was sent by God. Now, isn't it interesting that the one who sold or who suggested selling Joseph as a slave for 20 pieces of silver was one of the 12. One of the 12 brothers, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. His name was Judah. And isn't it very interesting that in the New Testament we read about another man, one of the twelve disciples, who struck upon the idea of selling Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It's no coincidence. This is providence. This is God teaching us a lesson in the Old Testament scriptures about something that would happen in the New Testament scriptures. It was a foreshadowing of the treachery of Judas, one of the 12. Who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. The book of God is a wonderful book. Take time to read it. And I can assure you, when you take time to read God's word, you will be blessed. You will be abundantly blessed. You'll want to be up early in the morning to read the book. You'll read it last thing before you go to bed. At the lunch hour, you'll take out the Testament or the Bible and you'll read to edify your soul. You never want to leave this book down because it's a wonderful book. Because it's God's book and it tells us something wonderful about Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph And as the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord is with me, the Lord is with you. Isn't that tremendous? He will never let you down. I am the Lord, I change not. So providence made him the object of his brother's cruelty. The slave in Potiphar's house, the interpreter of dreams for a doomed beggar and an ungrateful butler. And in due course, providence saw to it that he would stand before Pharaoh to interpret his dreams, with the result that the king on the spot promoted him from prisoner to prince and took him out of the prison house and set him down on the throne beside him as the next to him in power in the land of Egypt. This is what God can do. And he did it like that. He did it suddenly. Because the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was present with Joseph. I could go on, but I've got to move on to my second point. The Lord was perceived in Joseph. It was very evident that the Lord was with Joseph, for Potiphar, his master, noticed it. Notice what it says there in verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. His master saw, underline that word, saw. His master saw that the Lord was with him. His testimony was the testimony of his life, not the testimony of his lips. It was the testimony of his life. Potiphar was impressed by what he saw in Joseph, what he saw in his life, what he saw in how he lived. Potiphar was greatly impressed with what he saw in Joseph. What he saw in Joseph convinced him that the Lord was with Joseph. And I find this very interesting. Now, there are two Hebrew words for Lord, Jehovah and Adonai. Jehovah was God's special revelation of his name to his people, the children of Israel. In Egypt, they knew nothing of Jehovah. They'd never heard of a God like this. Now, Egypt was a land shackled by religious superstition. The people recognized at least 2,000 gods and goddesses, including Pharaoh himself. They worshipped him as a god. But we are told here that this godless Egyptian knew that the Lord was with Joseph. How come? There's only one way I can think of. Joseph had told him about his God. At some point, during those years, he spoke to Potiphar about Jehovah. He shared his faith. He shared his testimony. He talked to his master about Jehovah. I'm sure the devil came to Joseph and said, "Don't you dare speak to Potiphar about Jehovah. Don't you dare speak to him about your God. You're liable to get your head removed." But the Lord was with Joseph and gave Joseph the courage to share his faith. Joseph, except for perhaps his great-grandfather Abraham, who had visited Egypt years before, was the first worshipper of the true God to live in Egypt, as far as we know. It was a land where people worshipped many other gods. But Joseph stood out as one who worshipped Jehovah. Now, isn't that a powerful thought? You might be the only believer in your family. You might be the only believer in the place where you work. You might be the only believer on the street where you live, or in the housing estate where you live. And you may feel alone. And you may feel intimidated to remain silent when opportunity arises for you to share your faith. And you may feel intimidated. I can't do this. But you think about it. the only believer we know of who lived in Egypt, who took a stand for God, was Joseph. So the next time you feel intimidated, the next time when you feel all alone, and you feel that you are incapable of speaking up for God, remember Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord gave him courage to do what he had to do, and the Lord will give you courage to do what you need to do. When everybody was bowing down to the image in the book of Daniel, three young men stood firm and upright. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So when everybody else was doing their thing, and no doubt peer pressure was applied, you've got to bow down. You've got to do what everybody else is doing. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're standing for God. And they did stand for God, and it cost them. They were cast into the fiery furnace. But when they were brought forth by God, remember what the king said? Was there not a fourth like unto the Son of God in the midst of the fire with you? And when they were brought forth to appear before the king, there wasn't even the smell of the fire or the smoke upon their garments. If you ride in the bus, I don't know if you're allowed to smoke in the bus or not, but if you're in the company of people who smoke, well, when you go home from work or home from business, the people in the house know that you've been in the company of people who have been smoking, because the smoke has gotten onto your garment. But here were three believers, three young men who stood for God. They were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. And when God brought them forth, there wasn't even the smell of smoke upon their garments. This is what God can do. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with these three young Hebrew men. And the Lord will be with you. Praise the Lord. And he will never fail. Joseph was a very special young man. His father made him a beautiful coat. A coat of many colors. The beloved son of Jacob was given a garment of distinction and honor. And this gift from the father meant that he stood out and in some senses stood apart from every other member of the household. Likewise, the greater Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's well-beloved Son, in the days of his humiliation was clothed with the garments of heavenly approval, which endowed him with the outward and particular distinction of being the Son of God and the Son of Man. His virgin birth separated him from all other men. His sinless life set him apart from every other son of Adam. His atoning death clothed him forever with the mantle of that unique role as the redeemer and mediator of the covenant of redemption. And moreover, this wondrous person has dressed his own people in a glorious garment that sets him apart from all other men. He hath clothed us with the garment of his perfect righteousness. And we stand complete before the bar of God tonight, justified fully in Christ. Justified from every sin, and from every fault, and from every failure, past, present, and future sins are under the blood. We are complete in Christ. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are justified fully and freely forever in Christ. Christ is our righteousness. And that sets us apart from every other member of the human race because of God's matchless sovereign grace. The Old Testament priests dressed in linen garments. And it is important how God's people dress. Because the priests in the Old Testament, they speak to us of New Testament priests. And we are all New Testament priests, those of us who are justified by faith. The high priest Aaron and those who succeeded, followed him, they speak to us of Christ. But the priests speak to us of believers. And God specified what these believers wore when they served him. Even our dress sets us apart from other people. We ought to let other people know by our dress that we belong to Him. And so they wore special linen garments that did not cause sweat. That's the reason. Signifying a symbolic absence of sin, for sin and sweat are linked together in man's fall. Even so, Christ hath clothed His own people in the linen garments of His righteousness. We stand blameless before the throne of God. That is a tremendous point of doctrine we need to give particular attention to. The righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the more our hearts are gripped with this truth, the more we will experience the freedom of the Spirit of God to serve God in personal holiness. Acts 4 verse 13, you have no need to turn to it. They perceived that they had been with Jesus. People looking on were able to see in the lives of the apostles that they had been with Jesus. Just the way Moses came down from the mount and his face beamed with the joy of the Lord. He'd been in the presence of God. And may we radiate that joy and that presence as we seek to walk before God in truth. May people know that we have been in the presence of God. Have you been in the presence of God this day? Have you prayed this day? Have you sought His face this day? Have you studied His word this day? Yes, child of God, I am speaking to you. Have you seen His face today? The name Joseph literally means adding. And it appears six times in verses 1 through 6. This is deeply significant as well. Underline the name Joseph in these opening few verses. Take a pen and underline it. Get a red pen and underline it. And put on the side of your Bible or in the margin the meaning of Joseph's name. It means to add. That's deeply significant. As a follower of Christ, he was well named, because there was a constant increase in his knowledge of God. There was a continual growth in spiritual grace. There was a going forth. There was a forwardness in his experience. And notice, the Lord, or these words, the Lord in the story, it's a divine title signifying Jehovah, the God of the covenant, and the one who would never fail his servant. And it appears five times in these verses. The Lord was with Joseph. And he became a successful man. And that word prosperous or prosper is used of Joseph three times in verses 2, 3 and 23. And listen to this. You know what it means? It means to go on. Joseph was a man who went on with God. Joseph was a man who increased in his knowledge of God on a daily basis. He was a man who made progress. He was a man who went forward in his Christian experience. He was a man who went on with God. Are you going on with God? Joseph went on with God. Enoch went on with God. And we as the people of God, we need to go on with God. In the New Testament, the word means to have a good journey or to go on well. Are you going on well? Are you going on well? The Lord was perceived in Joseph. And then finally, and this is a shorter point, I will have you out in good time tonight. Sometimes I do get carried away. You know, my wife always has to let me know that I need to keep an eye on the clock at times. She's very good at that. Very gracious lady. And she does it in a very nice way. The final point is this. The Lord was presiding over Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And that was his testimony. And what a wondrous effect it had upon others. Notice what it says there in verse 5. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Do you see that? The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So other people were blessed because of Joseph. And notice what it says there at the commencement of the verse. And it came to pass from that time, from the very day Potiphar promoted Joseph to become the overseer in his house, from that very day God began to bless Potiphar, the Egyptian. And I see gospel truth here. Potiphar was blessed for Joseph's sake. And you and I have been blessed for Jesus' sake. Do you see that? Joseph points us to Christ in many ways. And at the heart of this story, there is a pointer to Christ. We are blessed tonight for Jesus' sake. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're blessed tonight for Jesus' sake. Our sins have been forgiven us. They're under the blood. We have a perfect standing before the bar of God. We'll never be in hell. We will rejoice for all of God's eternity in the presence of the Lamb. We have been blessed for Jesus' sake. Potiphar was blessed for Joseph's sake. We are blessed for Jesus' sake. Here is the proof of what a Christian should be in society. The Christian ought to be a blessing. Not a hindrance, but a help. Not a stumbling block, but a signpost. And this is what my role as a believer ought to be. I ought to be like Christ, pointing men to Him. That may never become a stumbling block. That may always be a signpost pointing to Jesus. Remember what Laban said of Jacob. I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And may our children be able to say, I am blessed because of dad's sake. I am blessed because of mum's sake. I am blessed because of a brother's sake. I am blessed because I've been brought up in a godly home. I have been sent along to the church to hear the word of God and faithfully preached. I have been blessed. I am blessed. And you are. The man who wore the son's coat in chapter 37 donned the servant's coat in chapter 39, and eventually he wore the sovereign's coat in chapter 41. Sometime you do a study on the different coats Joseph wore. That's a study in itself. I just mentioned two or three tonight, but you find out the other coats that Joseph wore. And that will be a good study for you to give some attention to. Joseph entered the land of Egypt at the age of 17. And he left it at the age of 110 for glory. And for 80 of those years, for 80 of those intervening years, he was the highest lord of the land of Egypt. Of course, he spent 13 years as a slave. But for 80 of those intervening years, he was the highest lord in the land of Egypt. Why? Because the Lord was with Joseph. Hallelujah. That was the secret of his success. That is why he persevered. That is why he prevailed all those years. That's why he never looked back. That's why he went on. He went on with God. Because the Lord was with Joseph. Oswald Sanders described Joseph as the slave who gained the throne. At first we see him with an iron chain around his wrist. Then we see him with a gold chain about his neck. Joseph was brought down into Egypt. He was forced down into Egypt. Joseph's great-grandfather Abraham went down into Egypt of his own accord. And he was expelled. But Joseph lived there for the rest of his days. And he was a blessing. Because the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord's presence was with Joseph. The Lord was perceived in Joseph, and the Lord was presiding over Joseph. And with this I close. We see him cast into the pit in chapter 37. God preserved him there. That wasn't pleasant. We see him thrown into prison in chapter 39. God prospered him there. That wasn't fair. He'd done nothing wrong. We see him invited into the palace. God promoted him. That was encouraging. And then we see him participating in the plan. God protected him. That was special. The Lord was with Joseph. Joseph was a man who succeeded in his Christian life because the Lord was with him. Joseph was a man who went on with God because the Lord was with him. And the Spirit of God has recorded this story in the book of Genesis to teach us, as his people, how we can succeed in these days in which we live. Even we are the last believer to live on earth, how we can succeed in the Christian life and how we can go on with God. The Lord was with Joseph. And may the Lord be with his people and bless us and make us strong in him for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give Thee thanks tonight for Thy presence. We thank Thee for the Word of God to our hearts tonight again. We pray, loving God above, will bless this truth that we have heard for the glory of God. Edify Thy people, build up the saints of God. Help us to emulate Joseph as he followed the Lord, and to learn valuable lessons of how we too can succeed in our Christian life and how we too can go on with God. May the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide upon all of God's believing people, now and forevermore. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for being here. Remember to pray at 11 for the meetings here, and if at all possible, if you can come at 7:30 to join us in the season of prayer, it will be greatly appreciated. May the Lord bless you, for Christ's sake.